Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. 'Cause when I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all.
Hello and welcome to The Gathering, brought to you by Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
That's a little convoluted.
Yeah, it is. And tonight's sponsor is Starseed Gem Studios. They could be found on the web at
starseedgems.com.
As you know, this is in The Gathering is a live discussion show. We welcome your comments. Tom Gould will not be joining us tonight, but we look forward to his return on the next month's show. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And tonight's topic is why do some people receive after-death communication frequently, and some say they don't receive it at all? And I think that what we're going to do after we get done with a few announcements is we'll start off the show addressing that, and we'll end the show with the consensus of opinion of how people can enhance receiving after-death communication. I mean, scientists tell us some things, and mediums tell us some things, and researchers tell us some things. So I guess they're helpful to people that are struggling to increase the chances of getting after-death communication. So why don't you start us off? Tell us what's going on, Fran.
And what's going on? Well, we got so messed up by Sandy that not too much is up on the calendar or the website yet, and we were kind of really, really hoping that our new website would have been launched with the new year, but as the universe would have it, that is not happening. So let me just bring everybody up to date as far as I can. First of all, I want to let our listeners know that they have been wonderful in supporting us through all of the different ways that they can, be it donations or shopping on particular sites or using the links for Amazon on our site, and that has been extremely helpful. So thank you for the last year of doing that. For those of you who are not aware, there are three ways you can show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. One, you could go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and you could like us. Or, two, you can use the donate buttons that are on any of our weekly email show reminders, and that will help support programming. There's also a space when you make that donation where you can add a comment on what you love and what you don't like so much about the show. And, three, you can always remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or you're in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we will receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 900 online stores like Home Depot, J. Jill, Lord & Taylor, Marriott, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Now, if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, you can contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org by email, or you could call the office at 631-425-7700. 7. And that having been said, we want to welcome three new business members for 2013. We have Alan Ross Huguenot Incorporated. Alan is the author of The Death Experience, and his website is www.afterlife.pro, P-R-O. Connie Martin joins us. Connie is the co-author of Love Never Ends, and her website is www.loveneverendsbook.com. And our sponsor, Starseed Gems Studios. Starseed Gems Studio was the proud sponsor of the 2012 annual Afterlife Conference in Phoenix, Arizona this past November. They can be found on the web at www.starseedgems.com. Reservations for all of our events that are coming up can be made through our website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or if you are listening to the show and do not have a computer, call the office at 631-425-7707. Dessert and Discarnates with certified medium Angelina Diana, and only 12 seats at this exclusive fundraiser on February 15th, 2013, where only 12 people will have an exclusive evening of spirit communication and delectable desserts with coffee and tea. Night of Mediums, this much sought after annual fundraiser, fills up quickly each year and is set for April 12th, 2013 at the Melville Marriott in Melville, New York on Long Island. And our grief retreat, July 26th through 29th in Chester, Connecticut, is a special weekend of an intimate group of people interested in working with professionals in the fields of dream communication, spirit communication, etc., in an effort to work through the grief process or even to learn methods of maintaining the relationship with those who have crossed onto the other side. And those are all of my announcements right now.
Okay. Well, as I mentioned before, our topic tonight is why some people receive after-death communication. Some of them report receiving it frequently. Others report getting it rarely or not at all. And we're going to address that subject, as well as some ways in which we can all increase our chances of getting communication. I guess, you know, we mentioned after-death communication. We just assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. But perhaps we should just take a moment. When we talk about after-death communication, we're talking about things such as near-death experiences, signs, dreams, dream visits.
Apparitions.
Feel free to jump in.
I know. I'm waiting to see what you leave out.
Well, you know, electronic voice phenomena, you know, different signs.
And even just
sense of presence.
Right. Yeah. That is the most common one. You know, people say, I feel like they're around. I really, and they doubt it.
Yeah.
But they are really around. And that is the feeling that you're getting. And they're sending that feeling.
And when we talk about signs, I think we should explain. You know, signs can be all sorts of things. I mean, we're not talking about a billboard sign necessarily, but it could be license plates, numbers on the clock, birds, wildlife, you know, just anything sort of that catches your attention.
Yeah, that's true. And then a lot of these signs are subtle and they're easily missed if you're not looking for it. So I guess what we're saying is, I guess the first criteria of why some people don't get signs or communication is that maybe they are, but they're not recognizing it. So that's certainly a possibility. The other thing that we have to bear in mind is that there's a certain degree of fear involved, I think, with a lot of people, even though they long for some communication somehow because of their upbringing or their religion or their cultural influences or their family. There's a certain stigma to it, and for that reason, they become fearful of anything that they can't perceive with their physical senses, and that very well may be a reason why where people aren't. Do people seem... I know the people that we deal with on a regular basis, a lot of them don't express fear, but yet, well, I guess a lot of new calls that you get, Fran, people are fearful. You know,
yeah, they call out of curiosity, but they still maintain that fear factor of, should I be making this call? Should I be joining the foundation? Should I? Because there's this little voice in their head that's been put there either by TV or Hollywood or
religion
or just the cultural surroundings that they live in that says, oh, you shouldn't be going there, you shouldn't be talking to the dead, this is spooky stuff, or this is, you know, you're going to burn in hell, or whatever the excuse is. That, but yet they know on some level that they that this is right, that they need to do it, and that's why they dial the phone. That's why they make that call.
Right. And of course, another obstacle, I would imagine, a lot of people are in deep grief. And if you've ever been in deep grief, you can certainly relate to the fact that you're really not open to anything other than your own grief. So, you know, if you're an entity in spirit trying to get through, you know, you hear the term, which I don't particularly care for, that you're blocked. But in a sense, you know, you are. You're blocking from your loved ones from spirit from getting through because they just can't get through that dense, you call it an information field or some sort of emanation that comes from your aura, you know, and they just can't get through. So it seems like
well, if we are all connected and that person in such deep grief is experiencing such a deep emotion, then spirit would be experiencing that emotion as well when they make the connection, and that may not be an optimum time or way to communicate.
The are we breaking for a normal break tonight, Francis?
I believe we should.
Okay.
We have paid advertisers.
We're going to go to our break. When we come back, we will be talking. There's lots more to talk about, and stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who is trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're talking about after-death communication, why some people get it, why some people don't. I know we have some callers. You want to take a call before we continue?
Sure. We've got Loretta from Michigan on line three. She has a question.
Okay. Loretta?
Yes.
Hi. How are you?
I'm
welcome to the show.
Well, I'm okay. Not great, but I'm okay.
Okay. That's good.
I lost my brother. We were extremely close, very good friends, 17 months ago, and it feels like yesterday. And I know that having lost other people prior to his passing, I feel that I have nothing left but memory and photographs, that I can't directly perceive my brother. And my parents preceded him years prior, and I wonder, on the other side of the veil, it seems that our talents or our powers or our freedoms seem enhanced. I wonder if they can perceive us more directly.
Hmm.
Because I don't feel that I can perceive him directly at all. I haven't experienced that.
Well, you know, I mean, have you had any types of communication with your brother since his passing?
You know, none that would convince my, pragmatic mind.
Yeah.
I've prayed to God, and I continue to do so, for a miracle, something so out of the ordinary. But
yeah,
I did have one dream. I had several dreams, actually, about three or four dreams of him. But this one dream in particular seemed a little more vivid, and it raised a joyful feeling in me, emotion. He was standing on the far side of a beautiful room. And he was healthier, certainly, than when he died.
Well, that certainly sounds like a dream visit.
I would say that's absolutely
yeah,
a dream visit,
you know,
and that you have now experienced an after-death communication.
Yeah. I know your specific question is whether those on the other side have more clarity in perceiving, you know, us. And you know, it always raises the question that a lot of people ask, well, what are they doing on the other side? Are they following our every move? Are they watching? And I think that they have, the consensus of opinion is they have access to see what we were doing at certain times. But let's face it, they probably have a lot more interesting things to do in a world or a realm that's untethered by a physical body and you know, freedoms that we could never imagine. And it also may be, and that may be a reason why some people don't always communicate from the other side, despite that bond of love that you have, is, you know, it may be a learned trait. It may be difficult. You may need they may need some time, or time, I know time is non-existent on that side, but there may be a period of an adjustment where they need help from others in learning ways to get through. You know, there are many different theories. There may be one. I know we had a Dr. Julia Asante on a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about the possibility where they may not communicate on purpose for some period of time, where they recognize that you need to maintain your own independence or learn, you know, on your own. So we really don't have the answers, but the consensus of opinion is that the clarity on the other side is so much different than it is in the physical. People that have had near-death experiences, they talk about clear thinking, clearer than they ever thought before. They would see things completely different. They would have access to other information. So I certainly think that people on the other side can perceive things much differently than we do here.
I want to ask Loretta.
Well, do you think they remember this life?
Yeah, I mean, the evidence shows that they certainly retain what survives. What survives is their personality. That's what survives. So they do retain elements of the personality, and that's why mediums can bring through their personality as evidence, so you know that it's really them. And then there's the theory about that is a fear that we all have. I guess you must have it too, Loretta. I know I did. Is whether or not our loved ones have no more memories of us anymore. They disappear they meld into the universe. But the evidence seems to indicate otherwise. And even if you believe in reincarnation, just because you don't remember a past life doesn't mean that the memories are not stored there. As somebody said, do you remember everything from your childhood when you were an infant or a year old? It's not much different than the other side. So I think the answer is clearly yes, they do retain their personality and memories.
Mm-hmm. I do regret, of course, things not said, and I thought you went through this with Mom and Dad 20 years ago. Why didn't you remember that, be sure? And I think acknowledging possibility of separation is real important, not to dance around the subject of impending death or possible impending death, without robbing the patient, let's say, of their hope of recovery when it's not certain either way, whether they will perish or recover. And so there's so much I didn't say that if I could do those last months again, I would definitely say things. I'd love to say.
You could say those things
now.
Absolutely. Say those things now. They are still a part of your life, and they still want to maintain that relationship, as you do too. The only difference is there's no physical body here. That's the only difference. But they do, and there is lots of evidence that shows that they still are a part of our lives. There are many experiences as well as medium readings where information has come through that they relate of things that happened after they left the physical world.
That is one of the things that a lot of the mediums would say, in teaching these things, is that they say to talk out loud to your deceased loved ones because they listen.
And that's what I wanted to say, Loretta. After you have these dream visits, when you're awake and you reflect on it, you should thank your brother. Say it out loud. You can thank him in your thoughts, but it might make you feel better if you're expressing it out loud. He'll hear you either way. And thank him for that visit, because if you discount the visit, he might think, well, there's no use trying to talk to you that way. So appreciate those are really him visiting you.
Yes, some advice that others give to people such as yourself, that are looking to communicate is stop trying to think of them being outside somewhere. And instead, focus inward and look for thoughts or voices or feelings, inside instead of, externalizing. They said that it helps to make the connection for whatever that's worth,
That's right. And don't regret the past. You can't change the past. So just focus on what's happening now and the love you have for them. We've heard that the love you express even after they're gone, helps them develop on the other side. So you're always going to be
really
helping.
I do talk to the air all the time. He lives with me, and I took care of him, made medical decisions. We had lots of sibs, but he and I had a special bond. And I talk to the air all the time now that he's gone, and or appears gone. His body is certainly gone.
Right. Well, one thing for sure is that, when the need arises, he'll make sure he finds a way to get through. I think he has already with that dream, but I'm sure there'll be others. And I thank you for calling, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Now, when I when you move to the next call, does that disconnect me from listening?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure.
I think there's a way of listening on your phone, but you have to dial into a separate number. So I'm not really sure of that, but we'll find out.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. All right. Bye now.
Okay. We do have those call-in numbers. I don't know if Loretta can still hear us, but we do have. Call-in numbers. Yes, obviously she has been disconnected, and she will have to call in again. But I'm sure she'll pick one of those numbers and Don will guide her. Meanwhile, we have calls piling up. So why don't we go to Mary from Georgia? She's on line 4.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Welcome to the gathering. And did you have something to add, or a question, or something to add to the program?
I actually had a question. My mom had passed away over 20 years ago, and I've never really felt like I had any communication from her. And we usually I have dreams of her, but can't remember anything except her being in a dream. And we were very close, and she believed in a lot of very spiritual things and mediumship and afterlife, and wondered why, you know, I can't seem to remember anything out of the dream, even.
Okay. I just want to make one immediate suggestion, is when you have these dreams, you should immediately write them down. Just keep a pen, maybe a little light, and paper near the bed, and as soon as you realize you've had a dream, get up and start writing it down. And the practice of writing it down uses a certain part of your brain that will open you up for more of these communications.
Okay.
So start journaling. It's a great thing to do.
Even if you don't think you've remembered much, write down what you do remember, and more should come.
Yeah, we're told that by dream experts that it helps if you set your intentions before you go to sleep. You can do that verbally or by thought or even say it out loud. But if you have a desire to connect, make that desire known.
I try that a lot.
Yeah.
And it seems like I try to remember. I just remember her presence, and it's just so important to me that I feel that, you know, she knows about my life now and my grandchildren. I just want to kind of have some kind of sign from her, I guess, and I guess I'm just not getting it.
Yeah, and we really don't know, you know, the reason that's part of it, of why some people don't get it, and some. I mean, you're certainly open to it, that's for sure.
Right.
You know, so
exactly.
It's not that that you're not, and you appear to be, you know, listening. So you know, there is some. We don't know how the process works. There's evidently some sort of synchronicity that has to take place, some sort of resonance match, you know, between the person in spirit, you know, and the person in the physical. You know, so for whatever reason, that may not be happening. But we also have to bear in mind that she, you know, being in spirit, has a totally different perspective than you do at this point. And she realizes that you'll be there, you know, in a blink of an eye. And we also have to acknowledge the possibility that she may be in realms that are so wonderful or interesting that it just really doesn't interest her in, you know, in staying in touch with the physical, because she knows that you'll be there in a snap, but she's involved in other things. She sees things from a perspective that we can't possibly imagine. So, you know, we grieve, but there's, you know, she's not grieving on the other side. So, whatever that's worth. But, you know, most people do find at some point, I mean, it could be, there's no time limit on these things. You know, when you give up or you least expect it, these signs start coming like gangbusters. So stay open, and I hope that you make the connection you desire.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, take care. And
I just wanted to, you know, our listeners to remember signs can be very subtle. It's not a big wow thing sometimes. You know, something crosses your path unexpectedly, a song comes on the radio, as we said before, the license plates, just something that gets your attention, something that's a little different. You go, that's odd. And I go, wait a minute, you know.
Right, and you instantaneously have that sensation that that was meant for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people are influenced by television, and they're waiting for this crazy, miraculous moment
right.
where music is going to play, and it's just going to rattle your cage.
That's
and
right.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's not like that. It really is subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mentioned Dr. Asante before, and that she has in her book, which is called The Last Frontier, she has what she calls the loud mind theory. And I never thought about this before. Have you ever heard that?
Loud. No,
she calls it. We know that our intellect is powered by strong emotions sometimes. So if you have a strong emotion or you have strong desire, that equals, you know, an enhanced, you know, telepathy. And her theory is that when you have people who, when they were in the physical and they were, for whatever reason, unable to communicate something really important before they died, or perhaps they left things, you know, unsaid and undone, they become great communicators on the other side because they have that enhanced desire. And so that's something to look for, too. And that's something that's borne out in the research, you know, that we talked about, the psychical research of telepathy and intuition and things of that nature. It seems that when people have that emotions affect the outcome, you know, strong emotions for some reason enhance the powers of telepathy. So, and not only that, when they say, so we think of a strong emotion, we're thinking of our loved ones. It has to be an emotion of love, but it could be any strong emotion. You could be angry, or you could be silly, or you could be whatever. You know, as long as it's a strong emotion that you would think, oh, I can't possibly make a connection now. I'm all wired up. Well, maybe that's what you need to be, wired up when you do it.
Raise your vibration.
Yes.
Maybe that's why somebody like me doesn't get a lot of communication, but somebody like you who's always wired. I'm talking to Beth Fran now.
Yeah. Not me.
With or without coffee. So we can take another call. We also have a wonderful guest holding on the line from our scientific advisory board. We have Diane Archangel, and we can bring her into the mix, and she could join us in the discussion.
Well, that would be great, because she's certainly an authority on that.
Okay, and then we can take our next call after we get settled with Diane.
Okay. Diane? Do we have Diane? Well, I guess
we may have dropped her.
Okay, we dropped her. Okay. Well, when she calls back, we'll...
Okay, so meanwhile, why don't we take our next caller, which is Cheryl from Illinois.
Okay. Cheryl?
Hi.
Hi. You're on The Gathering on Signs of Life. Welcome.
Hi. I'm calling from Illinois.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, I have a sister that actually, when she was little, you know, she had an imaginary friend, and, you know, she's always been pretty clairvoyant, you know, and we're in our 50s now. Can you still hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry, my phone drops calls, so I hope it doesn't. I've been listening all this time and watching, you know, AT&T.
Okay.
And I'll just go back to my computer. But I'm sitting in the one spot in my apartment that hopefully the call won't get dropped. Now that I got in my 50s, I did have an experience, kind of a death experience. It's a long story, and I won't go into the details. But anyway, I guess it wasn't my time to go. But once that happened to me, now this year, last year, I take it back, 2012. Anyway, I... Now all of a sudden it's happened to me. and I didn't realize what had happened to me because it came on suddenly. I mean, subtly. And it's been like a lot of distances have, like, you know, come to me through meditation. Like, I heard some of the other callers calling in, and, you know, they're like, oh, I don't hear from that loved one. And, you know, this didn't happen to me until I quieted my mind. I was just trying to actually just get into meditating, you know, to just kind of, you know, meditate and just get more into, you know, get into a place in my life where I could just calm my mind more. And you know, all of a sudden I started getting, like, messages, you know, and people like, oh, you know, you're losing your mind. And I'm like, maybe I am losing my mind. I don't really know. But started getting messages from relatives, you know, and I'm like, what is happening to me? And it's happened to me, like, many, many times now since 2012.
Yeah.
So my question is, you know, it's people that I know that have passed. And so, you know, I've told my family and, you know, I've shared it with them. And, you know, since I already know who the people are, you know, it's like messages for, like, people that have died and living relatives that are here. You know, like a cousin of mine who committed suicide. And the first time, you know, it was... I saw his daughter in his arms in a meditation. I'm like, what? What is this? You know, I got like an image in my mind. I saw it so clearly. And I saw a green balloon, and it was like somebody's birthday he was telling me. I'm like, what? You know, what is this? You know, and I mean, I was so overly compelled to get up and actually I went on Facebook, and I'm like, I wonder if her kid's birthday. I haven't talked to her. His daughter's in her 20s. It's like, you know, I mean, he's my cousin. He would have been in his 60s now. And I'm like, you know, this is preposterous, you know. So
yeah.
Well, I did go on there, and I said...
I was going to say, I mean, there are several things that are that come into play here that I'm glad you shared. And one is that you didn't get, you know, communication for a long time, and it wasn't until you started meditating. And there's certainly a school of thought that altered states of consciousness... and which, you know, when altered state doesn't mean that you're taking drugs, and, you know, meditation is an altered state. So any deep concentration or even daydreaming, that is the pathway. And then and you were doing what we were talking about before, looking inside, and you started to hear things and messages and voices and thoughts, and you started to open up. So I think that's good advice for our listeners. And
this was for someone to come and reach me, you know, and this was the first one. And anyway, that turned out to be, it was her daughter's birthday. And, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm like, you're not going to believe this and blah, blah, you know. And she said that, I said, you know, we're Catholic, we've been Catholic. I said, you know, I had a dream about your father. I mean, I couldn't really say what happened, you know, because I'm like, he's going to think I'm nuts. And so, and then after that, I mean, it happened, I don't know how many times, 10 times since then. And more subtly, too, where I just can't tell everybody because now it's happened so many times. But the thing is, the thing I'm wondering is, like, you know, it seems to be people that I know, although it's happened with me with friends of mine. But it seems to be always people that I'm familiar with. It's almost like it reminds me of, you know, like as if it's a pathway for people that want to get through to talk to their loved ones, you know? Like, is this, I mean, could it be like people on the other side, you know, spirits on the other side? Are they looking for someone who's open to it, you know, to come through and be able to reach their loved ones through someone that's open to it?
Yeah, well certainly we have to move on to the next call, but certainly when you open yourselves up, you become a channel, and I think that people in spirit are always looking for conduits to get through messages, and that seems to be what's happening with you. So, you know, keep at it, and thank you for calling.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Okay.
Okay, and do we...
I think if we take a quick break...
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and...
If we can catch
Diane on the line. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida, fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems developed by the parents of a young man who passed away are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life. We're talking about the after-death communication, why some people get them, why some people don't. On the line calling in, I'm happy she did, is Diane Archangel. For those of you not familiar with Diane, she's a researcher, a former hospice chaplain. She has completed a five-year international study on afterlife encounters and wrote a best-selling book about it called Afterlife Encounters: Ordinary People, Extraordinary Experiences. And welcome, and thanks for calling in, Diane.
Well, thank you for having a show, Bob. I'm delighted.
And it's perfect because, I mean, you've talked to so many people, and you've compiled so many accounts of afterlife encounters, and of course your background is in grief and dealing with people who have suffered a loss. So that's a question. Our topic is something that you must have been approached with many, many times. Why am I not getting communication from my loved one? You know, do they not love me? Am I doing something wrong? I'm sure you've heard this, no?
Absolutely. In fact, one entire chapter of my book, Afterlife Encounters, is dedicated to why some people have encounters and others don't. I wondered that early, early on. Oh, I would say maybe around the age of 16 or 17. Why do my friends talk about afterlife encounters, but I've never had one? Why do I have relatives who have them and I don't? So early on, I began wondering. Actually, the first study that I mentioned in my book is that what they call the social profile. The Bigelow Holding Company in 1991 ran a survey. In fact, actually, they hired the Roper people to do a survey with about 6,000 people. And they looked at everything from age, race, occupation, income, political interest, social status, education, I mean, just a full gamut, they asked, and they ran this study to try to figure out who has these encounters and who doesn't. And what they found was the most people who have afterlife encounters, you'll be happy to hear this, influential Americans, in other words, people who have money. They're the trendsetters, they're the community leaders, they're committee members, they're government advocates. They are college graduates. They're socially active. Most of them were middle age. Most of them were wealthier than normal, and they were married with 2.3 children. So I thought, all right, well, that sounds good. But when I was working as a hospice chaplain, a lot of the people in my bereavement support groups seemed to me like they were those who were telling me about they were having afterlife encounters seemed extremely extroverted, and those who had never said anything about them, who were kind of quiet and shy, seemed introverted. So have you ever heard of the Myers-Briggs typology indicator?
Yeah, from your book.
Well, it's a personality test. It's not anything like a psychological test or anything like that. It's strictly the Myers-Briggs tells us what our personalities are. It's introvert versus extrovert. It's intuitive versus feeling. It's perceiving. And so there's four different types, and they counteract each other. And so I say, all right, well, if they're mostly extrovert, I will start doing a study, and I will give everyone the Myers-Briggs typology test, and we'll just see what we come up with. Much to my surprise, introvert and extrovert had nothing to do with it. It was the same amount of people, extroverts and introverts, had afterlife encounters. Mm. However, the feeling types over the thinking types had 95%. It's been many, many years. I don't remember the exact amount. I think it was 95 or 96% of the feeling types did. 0% of the thinkers did. Now, thinker types are those who think. You know, say, for instance, people tell me they have trouble meditating. They're usually the thinking types, where feelers just get in there and they go for it. And that's what I found, was that the thinking types did not, the feeling types did.
Well, I mean, it certainly makes sense. I mean, we think of those in terms in a vernacular, left brain, right brain. It seems that the people that are more artistic and imaginative, and maybe musically inclined, they're for some reason more open to reception. I guess it fits in with what you're saying. And then people like me that think and have trouble meditating are left out in the cold lots. So your advice would be for those thinking types to stop thinking and meditate and concentrate and get into some altered state of consciousness, right?
That's right, Bob, and that's one thing that we found with these types is that we can't completely change our personality types, but we can influence them, we can train them. It's something like, for instance, everyone uses usually both hands. You may use your right hand to open the door, you may use your left hand to close it, but we both use both hands. Now, sometimes you prefer one hand, say, for instance, if you're going to write a letter. Most people prefer their right hand to write the letter, but they may prefer their left hand to open the door. And it's the same thing with the personality types. We are all thinking types. We are all feeling types. But usually, we prefer one most of the time. And that's what happens when we have afterlife encounters. We put the thinking type to the side, and we are this feeling, this very emotive, and you were talking about emotions a while ago, a very emotive type. And they're the types that have these afterlife encounters. And actually, you just mentioned something I'd like to talk on. You mentioned about creativity.
Yeah.
That was another thing I said. Why is it all these years we have focused on the living? Everybody asks, why do I have encounters, not others? You mean, I mean the scientists, we all looked at the living. One day happened that, why does it have to be about us? I mean, we've come up with all these different research, and we've looked at everything, and well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. But what about, couldn't it be the other side? So I conducted a study wherein I asked for different specific things about the person's personality from the discarnate. For instance, were they creative? Were they a strong personality type? Were they funny? That type of everything was funny to them. And I looked at all different types of traits, and we found that the creative types did appear to their loved ones most often. But the main thing, I mean, the number one thing that, I mean, it was like, I don't know, I remember now, 95-94%, said that the people who appeared to them, their discarnate loved ones, had a strong personality. Now, that's not that they walked into the room and took it over. That wasn't what they meant. But like, for instance, this one lady said, my mother endured the Holocaust. She came to America. She had three jobs. My dad died. She took over. And she said she was quiet. She didn't walk into a room and take it over. But I've never known anyone who just had this internal strength that she did. And she has visited every person in my family.
So communication, after-death communication, has every bit or perhaps more to do with those in spirit than those of us in the physical. I mean, you know, so, I mean, just because we desire to have communication, we can't make it happen.
That's true. And it does seem, Bob, you're absolutely, it does appear that it has every bit as much to do with them as does us.
Was there, in the studies, was there a breakdown, men versus women? Were women more receptive to communication than men?
It was just about the same. A little bit more with women, however, more women agreed to participate in research. So we went in with more women than men, so of course more women reported them, yes, than men.
So when's the next study?
I don't know. It depends on funding, and you know how funding goes. It's difficult to get anything funded now, but when it comes to the afterlife, it's really very difficult.
Very difficult and very expensive, and not much money to go around, right? Well, I thank you so much for calling in. We've unfortunately come to the end of the show, but again, I encourage people who want to learn more, check out Afterlife Encounters. You could find the book on the web or go on our website and go through Amazon and pick it up. Diane, thanks so much, and hope to see you real soon.
Well, thank you so much, and everybody have a wonderful, wonderful 2013.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.
And if any of our listeners would like to fund that project, just give us a call, and we'll set it all up for you.
Good idea.
Okay, and now we ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Johanna Suchow, Laurelyn Jackson, Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Morton, Tina Jocelyn, Jerry Diana, Barbara Russell, Alex, Nancy Scheel, Vicky Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Farron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Patilla, Glenna Irwin, Chase McKenna, Elizabeth McKenna, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, and Flora Prisco. And now our global peace prayer. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And that was written by Claude Swanson, who can be reached at claude_the_swanson@yahoo.com, or you can get this prayer at thesynchronizeduniverse.com. And with that, we'd like to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.